This scripture reading is taken from Philippians 2, 19 to 30. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how, as a son, with a father, he has served me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A very good morning to one and all. I hope that everyone is still awake. I believe some of you may have stayed till wee hours waiting for the counting of the votes. God's grace be with you this morning. Before we begin, let us go to God and pray. Dear Jesus, praise and thank you that you are our Lord and Master. Thank you for your daily leading and guidance. Teach us how to submit ourselves to you and live under your Lordship. Open our ears and hearts as we listen to you this morning. We pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Has someone ever impressed you? Maybe you saw some characteristic in this person that impressed you. This person could be someone from your family, a friend, or a public figure. What is it that impressed you? Was it sincerity? Love, care, humility, perseverance, or something else? How did you react? Did you imitate them? This week's sermon is Living Under Jesus' Lordship. Living under Jesus' Lordship is foundational principle in Christian discipleship. It calls believers to fully submit to Jesus Christ as both Savior and Master. He embraces a life that reflects His will and guidance. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 30, Paul discusses his travel plans. He praises Timothy and Epaphroditus. He highlights their inner virtues and outward actions that demonstrates true servanthood of God. Paul writes to encourage the Philippians to lead lives that are centered on Christ and rooted in the gospel. Through Paul's writing, we gain a deeper understanding of what it means to live under the Lordship of Jesus. And as we examine the lives of Paul Timothy and Epaphroditus, we see qualities that we can reflect in our walk with Christ. Hope and confidence in God, care for others, and commitment in the gospel. Well, Paul is troubled because the Philippians seems to be more focused on their own interests. They show little concern for the interests of others. And meanwhile, Paul is imprisoned. He's not able to go to Philippi to encourage them. In his absence, he has two faithful co-workers, Timothy and Epaphroditus, who will go on Paul's behalf. Will it be Timothy or Epaphroditus? Or will Paul himself be released and go later? Well, in our lives, we often face moments of uncertainty, times when we wrestle with plans, hopes, aspiration, and expectations. You wonder if your plan will succeed. You hope that God will provide a faithful Christian helper. You expect that your friends will stand by you in times of need. Paul provides a detailed explanation of his plan. In verses 19 and 23, Paul expresses his intent to send Timothy, but not immediately. Timothy is indispensable to Paul as he plays a crucial role in supporting him while he's in confinement. For the moment, his presence with Paul is more important than his journey to Philippi. Paul doesn't give specific details of this. Maybe Timothy is sending something important for Paul. Once all these are done, he can go to Philippi. In verses 24, Paul expresses his hope of visiting Philippi himself, despite his imprisonment. However, at this moment, neither Paul nor Timothy is free to go. In verse 25, Paul acknowledges that Epaphroditus is the only one immediately available to go. While Paul hopes to send Timothy later, he chooses to send Epaphroditus first. This is to ensure that Philippians receive support without delay. And at the same time, Paul remains hopeful that he himself will eventually be free to visit them. Many times in prayer we say, God, if you are willing, what does this truly mean for us? Is the phrase "the Lord willing" something we say habitually without deep reflection? For Paul, his trust in God was unwavering. He did not despair over the uncertainty of the future. In fact, he cast himself fully upon the Lord. For him, his plans, expectations, and hope were ultimately subject to the will of his Lord and Master. His plans were not made independently, but were made in the Lord. When Paul says, "I hope and I trust," these were not empty phrases. And these are also not escape clauses in case things doesn't go the way he planned. Rather, this reflect a deep conviction, a faith that shaped his life. Paul writes about hope and trust in God to remind the Philippians of what he believed and practiced in good times and bad times. under the lordship of Jesus. R.C. Sproul is an American Reformed theologian, a Christian apologist, and an ordained pastor in the Presbyterian Church in America. He wrote, "Hope is called the anchor of the soul because it gives stability to the Christian life. But hope is not simply a wish. I wish that such and such would take place. Rather, it is that which latches on the certainty of the promises of the future that God has made." This is to say that hope is like an anchor that gives stability in our lives. It is not just wishing for something, but trusting in God's promises for the future which are certain. I repeat, trusting in God's promises for the future which are certain. How do we actively place our lives, decisions, ambitions, and desires under the lordship of Jesus? What does it look like to surrender your family future to Christ? In what ways can you place your hope and trust in God in your work? And how about your aspiration and ambitions? How might all these be placed under the lordship of Jesus? Paul places his hope and trust in God because he lived under Jesus' lordship. His trust is not merely wishful thinking. It is a confident and assured reliance on God's faithfulness. As we live under Jesus' lordship, as he lived under Jesus' lordship, Paul's interaction with people were marked by love and compassion, and that reflects the heart of Christ. He cares for the people around him. Paul's letter reflects his deep compassion for the Philippians. He also commends his two co-workers for their genuine care and dedication to others. Paul expresses deep care for the Philippians through his letter. He offers comfort, encouragement, and gentle teaching. Timothy does not hold a significant role in Philippian church, but Paul deliberately takes the time to explain why he's sending him. By doing so, Paul assures the Philippians that he's sending a trusted and the best representative in his absence. Paul assures the Philippians that no one else shares his heart and mind like Timothy does. Timothy is like an extension of Paul. His thoughts, concerns, and his mission are fully aligned with that of Paul. Whatever Timothy says or decides during his mission to Philippi, this will reflect Paul's own thoughts. Do you, like Paul, take the time to explain and provide assurance to those around you? Timothy cares. He cares about the Philippians' affair. Paul comments highly of Timothy in his letter. He talks about his genuine care for others. Paul wrote, "For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ." Timothy genuinely cared about the concerns of Philippians. The Greek verb for generally, used by Paul, conveys a sense of kinship. It would be literally translated as legitimately born. That signifies authenticity and deep connection. Like Paul, Timothy's care for the Philippians is rooted in genuine concern as a son born through Paul's ministry. Some commentators suggest that as they serve together like son and father, Timothy naturally inherits Paul's interests and priorities. The word concern conveys a sense of pressure or weight of anxiety, as one generally worry for another person. This burden of concern arises from true compassion for the well-being of others. Timothy cares for the Philippians is deep and sincere. He prioritized the things of Jesus Christ over his own interests, and his selflessness stem from his unwavering commitment to God. And Epaphroditus cares. He cares for Paul even in suffering. He risks his life in service to Paul and the Philippians. He demonstrates profound care for others. He is fervent to serve the Lord by serving Paul. He is sent by the Philippian church to care for Paul. He fell ill and nearly died while carrying out his mission. Paul commends him for his willingness to sacrifice for the work of Christ. We see that Paul's care is evident throughout his letters. Timothy generally cares for the Philippians, and Epaphroditus cares even in suffering. As I was preparing for this sermon, I came across an article in the Straits Times Forum on 2 May last Friday. Dixon Tan is the author. He wrote a long list of appreciation of how help and care were rendered to his aunt, his wife, and family. He wrote, while his single aunt, who was a low-income earner, was hospitalized, the hospital social worker liaised with him to provide aftercare support for him. A driver and a volunteer helped to drive her to the hospital. And the social worker found a hospice near his house so that he can visit his aunt more frequently. When his wife was diagnosed with cancer, his employer was understanding and provided him with flexi working hours to give him more time to take care of his wife. And the doctor and nurses at the KK Hospital care for his wife, and they even bought her a birthday cake to cheer her up. When her immune system was low, they placed her in an isolation room so that Dixon's younger children could visit her during her last days. The nurses and the social workers also console and provide counseling for the family during the most difficult time. And the school counselor from the Kuo Chuan Presbyterian Primary School gave them emotional support. The school principal and counselor were at the wake to give them moral support and console their children. And his son's former teacher also visited the wake daily to help his son prepare for PSLE, which is 2 days after the wife's funeral. Dixon said he's grateful for the good and sound care system that we have here. When I read this article, I was also very moved by all the kind souls. And I wonder, as followers of Jesus, what does it truly mean to care for others? How do we respond to Jesus with our heart, our hands, and our feet? Well, I was very encouraged when I heard one senior lady mention that a younger member would come to her house and drive her to the place that she needed to go. I also encountered bosses who offered flexible hours to staff in need. This is a tangible way to show kindness and understanding. Well, we all might have friends who are in distress. We can set aside time and offer a listening ear and provide emotional support. The opportunities are endless. Compassion is not confined to grand gesture, but is in the everyday choices that we make. We can provide cares and serve others. Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus care for others because they live under Jesus' lordship. Their actions were rooted in the guiding principle of Lord Jesus, and that's how it shapes their life. And they remain fully committed to the gospel. Paul sees Timothy and Epaphroditus as partners in both the gospel and suffering. Well, they don't just profess faith, but they actively live it out. Their commitment is evidenced in their willingness to serve and to endure hardship. In verse 22, Paul says, "But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel." This now proven worth conveys both the process and the results of testing. Timothy served alongside Paul like a son with his father, fully committed to the gospel. He was Paul's son in the faith, a dedicated co-worker and servant of the Lord. He worked tirelessly alongside Paul. Beyond serving as a son, Timothy would learn traits from his father, and he carries Paul's teaching to Philippi. And he will express the apostles' very mind in the ministry. Both of them serve together with a common and single purpose, the gospel. Paul uses five nouns to describe Epaphroditus as a partner in the gospel. The first three highlight his character and devotion to Paul. My brother is Paul's favorite term for a Christian, and it affirms Epaphroditus as a fellow member of God's family. My fellow worker is a co-laborer in spreading the gospel where Christ's name has not been heard. My fellow soldier is a military term. It signifies their shared struggle in facing opposition in spreading the gospel. This reminds us Christians that we not only serve together, but we also suffer hardship in a hostile world. The last two nouns define Epaphroditus' mission and service. He is a messenger sent by the Philippian church to care for Paul. And he's a minister. His service to Paul was a religious act of devotion to the Lord. Verse 30 highlights that Epaphroditus is committed in the gospel and he nearly died. He brings gift on behalf of the Philippian church. He embarked on a long journey. He endured physical and emotional stress. He may also be facing threat of persecution, but yet he remained steadfast. He was unwavering in his desire to serve Christ, and he placed the needs of others above his. Both Timothy and Epaphroditus exemplify a servant heart, one that is devoted to God. They selflessly cared for others and they endured hardship for the sake of the gospel. Francis Havergal's lives exemplify this principle. Francis is a hymn writer. She was born in 1836 into a family of six, and she's the youngest among the children. His father, William Havergal, was a clergyman in the Anglican Church, and he's also a musician and a hymn writer. Both parents brought their children to long for Christ. Francis led an active life, although she's physically fragile. She was able to read the Bible at the age of three, and at four, she was able to memorize portion of the gospel. And at the age of seven, she was able to write verses that is fluent. And she was a renowned hymn writer in mid-30. Eventually, she wrote about 70 hymns. Frances is a humble lady. She considered all her talents to be only loans from God, and she uses that for God's glory. She was a great encourager to help many turn to Christ. She helped them to deepen their spiritual walk with God. Frances was a devoted Christian. She studied the Bible in the morning and in the night, and she would do daily reflection so that it will help her to transform to be more Christ-like. At the age of 30, she had an encounter with the Lord and wrote the famous hymn, "Take My Life and Let It Be." Frances wrote the following account. She said, "I went for a little visit for 5 days. There were 10 persons in this house. Some were unconverted, longing for prayers. Some were converted, but they are not rejoicing Christians. God gave me the prayer, 'Lord, give me all in this room.' And God did." She said, "Before I left the house, everyone has got a blessing. The last night of my visit, I was too happy to sleep. I passed most of the night in renewal of my consecration. And those little couplets formed themselves, and they chimed in my heart one after another, till they finish with 'Ever only all for thee.'" Frances is an inspiring lady, committed to God. What does it truly mean to be committed to the gospel? for us. Seeing the qualities of this servant's heart, how might we respond to Jesus in our daily lives? How may we surrender our plans and priority and allow Jesus to lead? In what ways may you care for others with the compassion of Christ? How may you use every moment to serve, encourage, and live out God's truth? Commitment to Jesus is not simply a belief. It is an active, daily devotion shaped by love and service. Living under Jesus' Lordship compels us to put our hope and trust in God, surrendering our plans to His will. He enables us to generally care for others, demonstrating Christ-like compassion in our relationship. And He compels us to be committed to the gospel, actively live out our faith in service and devotion. I shall end with lyrics of the hymn, "Take My Life and Let It Be." This song is considered the most popular and the best of Francis's hymn. In the text of the hymn, she committed all things that belonged to her and her life to God, for God's purposes. And this is a call to all of us to consecrate all things in our life to God so that we can live under the Lordship of Jesus. The song writes, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Take my hands, take my feet, my voice, and my lips. Take my silver and my gold, my intellect, my will, my heart, my love. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for Thee." Let us rise for the closing prayer. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for calling us to yourself. Thank you for your daily leading and guidance, and we commit ourselves to you. Take our life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take our moments and our days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take our hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take our feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take our voice and let us sing always only for my King. Take our lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Take our silver and our gold, not a mite would we withhold. Take our intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose. Take our will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer ours. Take our heart, it is Thy own. It shall be Thy royal throne. Take our love, our Lord, we pour at Thy feet, His treasure store. Take ourselves, and we will be ever only all for Thee. Lord, we surrender ourselves to You. May we be obedient to You and live under Your Lordship. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let us remain standing for the closing hymn, for the communion hymn.